that a special edition of the Christmas Hudlines are Roy Hudd, June Whitfield, and Chris Emmett with Peter Moss and the Hudliners.
Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for Christmas what 96 did for Eurotunnel. Ken Clark fell out with John Major over the European single currency. He was just having a bad hair curl day. One in there somewhere. But now everyone's sitting down to their Christmas dinners, aren't they, eh? John Major's had a belly full of Brussels. Chris Patton's having a Chinese takeaway. And Ken Clark wants stuffing, but there you go. Being Christmas time, there's masses of films on TV, of course, provided you've got a video and can work the barcodes. You can easily make a mistake, you know. Last year I recorded a tin of baked beans and a packet of fish fingers. And I see that the choir master at St. Paul's wants a bigger organ for Christmas. There will now be a short pause while you all make up your own jokes. Meanwhile, hotshot Prince William is spending Christmas at Sandringham, indulging in his favourite hobby of banging away at old birds.
Well, like father, like son, I always say.
And how about that man who won the legal right to wear a dress and high heels at work? He's so militant, old Cleggy, he really is. Oh, did you read that Bud Flanagan was born a century ago this year, eh? But times have changed, you know. If he went underneath the arches now, he'd trip over Nicholas Scott, wouldn't he? And we've had our usual list of presents for people in the news. For Camilla from Charles, some sexy nightwear. A black satin horse blanket and... for John Major, a gift voucher from Pickford's Removals. Oh, and a lovely gift for Tony Blair, a policy. Any policy. Not forgetting Eurotunnel, a new battery for their smoke alarm. Do you remember when Trevor MacDonald was stopped from reading out a news report in case he got it mixed up again? Well, it was about the French truckers, so you can't blame him. Really. It looks better written down, that one, I promise. And what about those burglars who stole several gallons of champagne, whiskey and cognac from Keith Floyd? Yes, apparently they broke him while he was asleep and pumped his stomach out. You know. Meanwhile, I read that a former street trader was appointed assistant chief constable of Lancashire. Suspects don't trip down the stairs anymore. They fall off the back of a lorry. You know. And how about that Japanese businessman who tried to make the world's biggest jelly? But he drowned after falling into the mould. Damn shame. If he'd survived, he'd have been set for life, wouldn't he? Thank you very much. Glass bottle, bottle glass. And among the saddest stories of the year was the case of the man who divorced his wife after he met and married her in 24 hours and then discovered she was a man. He said he felt a complete plonker, but there you go. There was that report that a children's computer was found to contain swear words. It must have been bought from Toys Up Yours, I say, but then... But the daftest story of the year must be that old boy who celebrated his 101st birthday by having a takeaway curry. Yes, he said at his age it was the only way he could be sure of blowing out all the candles on his birthday.
Philip, don't do that in the drawing room. There must be other ways to make the Christmas tree lights work.
Oh, just culling the wildlife, Liz. Look at it. Confounded trees infested with little flying blighters.
No, those are angels, Philip. Oh. And you've knocked the cards off the mantelpiece.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, I don't remember this one. You travelled east on a royal visit. To Thailand came, we wouldn't miss it. So thanks for mixing with all us ties, and see, you didn't get slit here.
I think that's charming.
Charming. Any more presents to open, eh? What's this?
Oh, it's for Margaret, liqueur chocolate.
Oh, a litre of gin with a smarty in it, I see. Oh. No more? Bit of a poor show, Liz. Not even anything from the children. A few unexpected surprises.
Oh, we think they've given us enough of those already. In fact, the only one who hasn't...
Mumsy, Pops, seasonal schmoozes and a mwah, 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 Merry Christmas.
Oh, dear. Edward, living proof that Herod was right. What are you blasted wearing now, boy?
You like it, Pops. My boys at Ardent asked me to slip into something unusual. Publicize our version of that fake video of Diana and James Hewitt.
Oh, wouldn't it have been better if you dressed as Hewitt, eh? And worn the sports bra inside the leotard, eh? He's playing Dame at Watford, you know, honestly.
Festive greetings, Edward, dear. Are you enjoying the day?
Look, stop playing horsey with the footman while your mother's talking to your boy.
Sorry.
Or at least steer him away from the mistletoe. Now, Cap, mind those Christmas cards.
Oh, no problem, Pops. Oh, I say, this is a good one.
Really?
Let Yuletide felicitations come free to a gracious queen from old Bob Runcie.
Oh.
Apologies for Charles's wedding. We all could see where they were heading. Alas, alack, gnashing of teeth, not Wales, but Wally's my belief. Forgive him, though your boy has erred and acted like a little...
That's enough, thank you, boy. Now then, haven't you got any presents to deliver, eh?
Presents?
Presents, anything for the parents who loved you, nurtured you, made sacrifices?
Oh, Philip, don't be silly. We treated Edward just like the others.
Oh.
And do stop hinting. It's enough just to see the family.
Die is gone and so's my lolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. All folks say I'm off my trolley. Oh, like a cool Yule and far-out felicitations, Daddy-o, Mummy-o.
Oh, Charles, how nice. Overcoat off, dear. Old boots in the corner.
I think she'd rather stay here with me. Isn't that right, old thing?
You know, it was more for the board than I would break.
Close enough, yes, so... You got everything in for Christmas, boy, eh? And presents, eh? Plenty of presents?
Ooh, I say, Father Christmas brought lots of stuff.
Oh, you didn't let Will shoot the reindeer then, huh?
Philip, why don't you just pick up the rest of those cards?
Oh, whatever you say, Liz. Ah, look, here's a French one. Oh, it's an odd picture, this, though. Big black circle with flames on. It's either a blazing pud...
Or the entrance to the Channel Tunnel. Positive greetings, one and all. I was just looking for something to open me presents.
Scissors, Grandmama. A paper knife.
No, corkscrew, dear. I've got a few boys from Ladbrokes round to wet their wassails. Oh, that Lord St. John Stevens is handing round the pies.
Really, mince?
No, I think he always walks that way, dear. It's not like the Christmases with my Bertie.
Oh, here we go.
Well, he always liked to give presents that last.
You mean sculpture, porcelain?
Hereditary peerages. Well, here you all are, most suitable presents for you, like Anki sheets, unmentionable boxer shorts.
Oh, ballet clothing, most suitable. It's because...
Exactly, Philopides. You lot spent the last year washing your dirty linen in public, so it's time you had some clean.
Oh.
Thank you, Mummy. But all one really wants for Christmas is Fergie roasting on an open fire, old flames licking at her toes, Dear Di tripping on a telephone wire and falling on her pretty nose. Every year we wish these simple gifts would grace our lives, but wishes never do come true. So once more we say to our offspring's ex-wives, yucky Christmas to you. Leave the cordial
alone. Yeah, all right then. Yeah, bye.
Who was that?
Oh, that was my brother. He phoned to say that his office party was dreadful this year.
Oh, really? Why was that?
Well, he said the conversation was non-existent, that no one else got drunk, and that he was the only one who photocopied his bottom.
Oh, dear. Sounds a bit naff. What does he do for a living?
Oh, he's self-employed.
Oh. I see St. Andrew Lloyd Webber has revived Jesus Christ Superstar in time for Christmas. Well, he needs the money, doesn't he, eh? He's only made 70,000 since I started this sentence. But if you want an idea for Christmas next year, St. Andrew, how about the Nativity story? Chris, June, you got your roller skates on?
Yep.
Good.
Well, we're rolling.
We present Follow the Starlight Express. All right, all ready. Don't you know the time? Hey?
Midnight.
Exactly.
Any room in your inn, mate?
Hey?
Because the wife is expecting.
Oh, yeah.
And the donkey's half dead.
Don't shout at me, I'm the cleaner. We'll pull up, my life. It's Christmas.
I know that.
You've got no booking.
No.
You made a bloomer.
Yeah, but we've got money.
I have.
We've got Mazuma.
Dosh. Dosh changes everything. Let me help you, my dear, to unpack.
Oh, thanks.
Dosh. Dosh changes everything. There's a manger. It's not a lot, but it's round the back.
We saw a superstar.
Too. I'll write it quick and sing it slowly.
Ah.
If it's vaguely holy,
ah,
anything will do.
What are you doing, beloved?
Oh, I was just trying to slip a little something into your stocking.
Well, I think it might be easier, dear heart, if you let me take it off first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's so nice to be on our own this Christmas, and
yes,
yet somehow strange not to be throwing our usual party for the cabinet.
I told them good and proper, until they start behaving themselves, there won't be another party in Downing Street.
Well, not till next May, anyway.
What?
Nothing, dearest. You're sure they all got the message, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I made it very clear. You'd have to be a complete idiot not to realise I don't want to see any of them until after Christmas.
Oh, diddy-oi. Top of the morning to you, begotta be Jesus, at all. So, where's everyone else, then?
Mahwinny! What are you doing here?
Now, I often ask myself the same question.
And what is the answer?
47.
I think that's right, yes.
Norman, it's good to see you, old chap. Don't worry, I haven't told a soul. Now, where's everybody else, then?
I told you 100 times, Quinny, there's no Christmas party this year. Norman and I were just settling down to celebrate Christmas on our own.
Christmas?
You know, Mawinnie, that day when we celebrate the birth of the greatest man who ever lived...
I didn't know it was Heseltine's birthday. I get it. It's a surprise party for him, is it? Where's everyone hiding? Come on now, you little devils. I know you're there somewhere.
For the last time, there is no party.
And even if there was, nobody would come if they knew you were here.
Oh, my God, fathers.
What?
I don't know if you've noticed it, sir, but there's a dirty great tree in the middle of the room.
Yes. It's from the Norwegian people.
Ah, those pesky Europeans. Don't worry, I'll get rid of it for
you. No, Mahwinny, no.
No, don't.
There we are.
Hmm? my tree and that poor little fairy.
I don't think you should talk about Norman like that, sir. Now, there's no harm in putting women's clothes on if he wants to. My dear old mammy used to do it all the time, God rest his soul.
Yeah. And the candles are all in pieces and the little bowls are all smashed.
That's funny.
Funny?
I distinctly remember Theresa Gorman saying you hadn't got any.
McWinnie!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What could I be doing for you, sir?
Get out!
Well, yes, sir. Of course, sir. I'm on my way now, sir, for Jesus. It's not often I'm allowed to stay this long.
John, come and give me a cuddle.
I don't know, Norma. Perhaps we should have had a party after all. I mean, what's happened to the spirit of Christmas?
Oh, Clark drank it all yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You know, when that nasty Heseltine told me Santa didn't exist, it was like all the magic went out of it for me.
Oh, it's all right, beloved. He was lying.
Yeah.
Of course there's a Father Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Norma. And what about the Tooth Fairy?
Yes, dear, if you insist.
Whoopee!
And a Sandman who sprinkles stardust in your eyes every night to give you nice dreams.
I knew it.
In fact, there's only one thing that not even I can help you believe in anymore.
Oh, yes, and what's that, my little mince pie?
A Tory victory at the next election.
Here's another one. This Christmas, we started wondering about all those presenters on TV who work like mad through the year, but then pre-record their shows for the holiday. Unlike the Hudlines, of course. But what can all those presenters be up to? Most presenters on the telly, aren't they full of good advice? They know what to do with gardens, pots of paint and peel our rice. They've got hints on how to mend a leak or build those kitchen shelves. But when Christmas comes around, what can they find to do themselves? Peter Snow ought to know if a party's got no hope at all.
Can you see Sue Laurie ever throwing off restraints?
And when their shows are off the air, can Barry Norman cope at all? And might it be Anne Robinson writes letters of complaint?
Goofy rats might relax, but she can't be very good at it.
Gary Rhodes might see a map and throw a Christmas pud at it.
Michael Burke's stopping work might cause idle talk.
But could young Clarkson dump his car and maybe take a walk? They've got shows, and suppose we need lectures in astronomy.
Tips on pruning roses, keeping pets and home economy.
Experts, each of them, but Christmas comes to all. And can they cope? Ask Mystic Meg. She'll need a crystal ball.
I'll never forget that Christmas morning in 1893 when I, Dr. John Watson, colleague and confidant of that most eminent private detective and insufferable smart-ass Sherlock Holmes, embarked upon another of our mysterious cases. The weather was seasonably cold, and a thin white layer coated our windowsill on the inside. That and the razor blade and drinking straw told me that Holmes had already had his Christmas treat. With a redder nose than Rudolph himself, he was now indulging in his second most favourite pastime.
Isn't it the most exquisite thing you ever cast your eyes upon, Mrs. Hudson?
Oh, yes, Mr. Holmes.
Yes.
It's much nicer than my late husband's.
Good,
it's
yes.
Quite a bit bigger, too.
Yeah, yeah. The size makes all the difference, you know.
So my Ernest used to tell me, mind
yes.
You, he couldn't tuck the end of it under his chin like you can.
Yes, a clever trick if you can do it, I must admit. You see, it's a Stradivarius.
Oh.
Watson's Christmas present to me. Damn generous of him.
Yes, considering all I got from you was a knitted cozy for the end of my stethoscope.
Well, it can give you a nasty shock first thing in the morning, you know. Cold rubber on skin?
Oh, my Ernest used to like that.
Like what?
Cold rubber on skin. He particularly liked to dress up.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Mrs. Hudson, for sharing that little gem with us. So, where's my present?
A present from me? With a dead husband and a toy boy to support? You must be joking.
In that case, return to your rightful place in the kitchen and set about preparing our lunch.
Right you are, Mr. Holmes. Pompous git.
Silly old cow.
Salt of the earth, that woman.
Yes, she should be kept in a cellar as well. I've got a sense of humour, haven't I, Watson?
You know, you can be insufferably boorish at times, Holmes.
Oh, I see. You're still pouting because I gave you a stingy present, aren't you?
No, no, I'm not.
Yes,
no,
you are. No. Yes, you are. Look at you. Pout, pout, you're going. Pout.
No, I'm not.
You are. I can't. That upper lip is softening into a pout, I can tell. I can't abide pouting. Stop it at once, or I'll be forced to deprive you of one of your most singular pleasures.
Oh, you don't mean...
I do. I shall instruct Mrs. Hodson to sew up your trouser pockets.
You fiend.
Then where will you keep your tobacco, eh? I'm cleaning them up as I go along, you know what. Come in, Mrs. Hodson.
The first post has arrived, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you, Mrs. Hodson. Be off with you.
Yes, Mr. Holmes. Pillock.
Ratbag. A present. Addressed to me, Watson.
Looks dashed suspicious, Holmes. Spherical in shape and with a length of fuse protruding from it.
It's probably a plum duff. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a plum duff.
Exactly. I've never seen a plum duff with the letters B-O-M-B written on it.
A man as brilliant as I has many enemies, Watson. At least the fuse isn't burning.
No, but the bomb is ticking.
What? What? Quick! Pass me that bucket of water, which happens to be conveniently situated by the door.
This one?
How many buckets of water do you see in this room, Watson? Stop faffing about and bring it here.
Anyway.
Quick, come on.
There.
What are you... Get the water. Yeah. Summon Mrs. Hodson on the speaking tube, Watson.
Very well.
Yes? What is it? I'm busy stuffing the goose and I'm up to me elbows in giblets.
Mrs. Hodson, Mr. Holmes wants to see you up here right away.
Oh, all right. Tell him I'll be quick as I can.
She'll be as quick as she can, Holmes.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
What kept you, Mrs. Hodson? No matter. You are dismissed.
Do what?
I say, steady on, Holmes. It's Christmas Day. You can't do that to the poor woman.
Woman, woman. You notice anything strange about Mrs. Hodson?
Not really. Well, except for the 5 o'clock shadow on her face.
Splendid, dear Watson. Stubble on her chin. Odd, don't you think?
Perhaps she hasn't shaved today, Holmes.
Women don't shave, Watson.
What?
Even I, confirmed bachelor and personal friend of Oscar Wilde, know that. Stand back while I remove Mrs. Hudson's garments.
There! What are you doing?
All is revealed.
You're telling me. Great heavens, Holmes. She's a chap.
Not only a chap, but my arch-enemy and thoroughly bad egg, Professor Moriarty.
Curse you, Holmes. But I'll get my revenge on you yet. I shall return.
He's made his escape through the window. Aren't you going to give chase?
No need. A naked man running through the snow-covered streets will soon be grabbed by the peelers.
One thing puzzles me,
Holmes. What puzzles you, Watson?
How did you know Mrs. Hodson was really Moriarty?
Uh-huh.
And where is the real Mrs. Hodson?
The answer is elementary, my dear Watson. Mrs. Hodson!
You called, big boy?
Mrs. Hodson! In your bedroom, Holmes? In her night attire?
Well, I may be a confirmed bachelor and a personal friend of Oscar Dib-Dib-Dib Wilde, but I'm no nine-bob watch, Watson. Now pass me my Stradivarius. I feel like a quick fiddle.
Oh, Mr. Holmes.
Aye, aye, that's your luck. This year, of course, grand opera's become even more popular, with Placido Domingo celebrating at Covent Garden and Pavarotti even appearing on the National Lottery Show. Yes, Pavarotti, there can't be anyone bigger in the arias, can there, but... Warmth in the winter and shade in the summer, but has... But has opera really caught on everywhere? Strictly in the interest of research, the News Headlines team popped into the local pub.
Gentlemen, please, let's have your last orders.
Evening, Ted. What a pub. Who'd believe it?
Yeah, no one sober could ever conceive it.
Once we all did the old okey-dokey.
Those were nights that one never forgets.
Now there's Mozart on that karaoke, and we're forced to converse in duets.
Watch out, here's the obbligato.
Time now, gents, your timing's slipping.
Why not just get pizzicato?
Keep in tune and make it gripping.
Should a pump be so traumatic?
2, 3, 4, 8.
Pavarotti gets ecstatic, but it's only a fanatic. Makes a track sound operatic, and I must be quite emphatic. All I want's a quiet pint.
Simmer down, we're not all Luciano.
Them three tenors, I'd make them sopranos. Then again, music's nice while you're drinking, and this opera's not something I'd scrap.
What's the cause of this sudden rethinking?
Look, there's 10 quid at least in my cap.
Oh, Merry Christmas, brother.
Look what I found in this German cracker, Chris.
What is it?
What is the difference between a South American farmer of sheep and your education secretary?
Nothing. They are both Chilean shepherds.
Yep. And Joseph, get back, you swine! Come in.
Oh, morning, oh. Dr. Adams. And a very merry Christmas to you.
Good.
Ho, ho, ho.
Good grief, it's a festive Mr. Friggins. I take it your red tunic and long white beard means you're working as Santa Claus again this year.
Nothing gets past you, Doctor, does it?
So, what appears to be the trouble this time?
Well, I was reading an article the other day about how watching lots of television at Christmas can boost your sex life, see?
Yes. Go on, Mr. Friggins, I'm all ears.
Well, I fell asleep after reading it, and when I woke up this morning, this had happened.
Why, sure. That's a lovely-looking set you've got there, Mr. Friggins.
Thank you, Doctor.
26 inches by the look of it, too.
Yes, I can pick up anything with it.
Yes. I'm not surprised, yeah. Let me have another look. By George, I can't believe it. Would you mind twisting sideways for a moment, Mr. Friggins?
Well, certainly, Doctor, but do you mind me asking why?
Oh, I just thought there might be something better on the other side. I'm afraid I'll have to give you this.
What is it, Doctor? A prescription?
No, it's what you should have had years ago, Mr. Friggins.
Oh, you don't mean...
Yes, a license for it. Now, get out.
Finally, the Hudlines predictions for 1997.
Football teams Bishop Auckland and Plymouth Argyle amalgamate and call themselves Bishop of Argyle.
That way they hope to score as many times as he has.
The Queen reveals that she likes watching The Simpsons because they seem so normal a family.
Well, compared to her lot, they probably are.
To find out which way to jump on Europe, John Major consults a fortune teller.
Yes, she's called Maastricht Meg.
The Channel Tunnel is sold.
As a novelty ashtray.
A 24-hour telephone helpline will be set up for nymphomaniacs.
Hello?
And that's the end of our predictions for 1997.
And we'll be back in the spring unless I'm clamped down by Virginia Bottomley. Ta-da for now!
That was the Christmas Hudline, starring Roy Hudd, Chris Emmett and June Whitfield, with Peter Moss and the Hudliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. Sketches were by Michael Dines, Tony Hare, Peter Hickey, Glenn Mitchell, Felix Riley, Mike Coleman, John Random and Jerry Godin. The songs by Richard Quick and Jeremy Brown. Additional lines by Dave Dixon, Bob and Barbara Bolton, Stuart Curry, Andrew Marston, Jim Mulholland, Robert Linford, Jim Ward, Sandra Hardingham and Paul Harrison, Graham Pack, John Finch, Tom Jameson, Chris Worth and Tom Davidson, John Wright, Jim Cass, Brian Sykes and Charlie Adams and Phil Munnock. And the broadcast assistant was the fabulous Liz Trott.
All of whom no longer believe in our producer,
Steve Dirty.